All right, we have success. So again, make sure when you give input, you talk loud enough so we can get that recorded for those couples that cannot be here. They can hear your voice and get a chance. Pray for Stephen and Crystal. He got bit by a spider yesterday and is not doing too well today. So definitely keep him in your prayers and on your heart. Just a note here, once we finish this particular lesson that we're doing right now over dealing with worry, we're going to be interjecting another study called the Marriage Notebook as well. So we'll be simultaneously going through both of these studies at the same time. This is by Ed Watke. You know Brother Ed Watke? Okay, Roger, you know Ed Watke? Yeah, Pastor Nelson's pretty good friends with him. He came and did a marriage seminar for us years ago, and I bought several books from him on marriage. This one that we're going to be interjecting some things from, cover, making right choices for a great marriage, consulting God's marriage map, how is it at the controls of your marriage, choosing communication or confusion, choosing to love your wife, that's for us guys, amen. Choosing to give your wife godly leadership, that's for us guys. Making good choices as a wife, that's for you wives. Choosing to fulfill God's plan for the wife. Choosing constructive conflict. Now that's going to be an interesting lesson there. Then coping with coping with conflict biblically. And then choices that bring failure in child rearing. And then choosing a biblical view of sex. Then choosing to understand each other. And then choosing to build family worship. So this study will be kind of interjected into this study, which will make this study seem longer because we're actually getting this study as well. So we'll be going back and forth on the lessons there. And I think it'll be a blessing to us, and I think it'll be an encouragement to us as well. Amen. All right. Who did not get one of the lessons here? Were on worry. Okay, I know Roger and Julia didn't get one. Pass one back to them. And then the Somalis need one as well. Okay, and that's what we're covering today. Hopefully we'll finish that up. How to wipe out worry. How many of y'all do worry?
How many worry?
We all worry, amen. We all worry. The question is, should we worry?
I seldom worry.
You should seldom worry, amen.
I'm very seldom.
We shouldn't worry. And we left off last week, gave you Matthew 6:33. We're on page 13 there in your notes. What we've been covering so far is, why shouldn't we worry? And we saw worry causes us to lose perspective as to the big picture of God's plan. Worry, number two, causes us to forget our worth. Amen. God says that we're worth more, and so we ought not worry. And then worry robs us of our strength. We looked at that. There's a lot of stuff that we just can't do when we get worried because it physically and mentally drains us. And so now we're looking at page 13, how to wipe out worry, how to wipe it out. Amen. We want to get rid of it. And we had gone over number one, examine our priorities. And it says there in number one, worry is a warning light that tells us our priorities are out of order. Because we're worrying, that means God's not in charge in our life at that particular time. Or we're not giving him the charge that he's due. Now, he's always in charge. It's just that we're not giving him the charge. And so what does Jesus tell us? The biblical priorities in Matthew 6:33. And that was our memory verse for last week. So we'll say that together. And then we'll go ahead and pray, and I will find my water that I lost. I know it's around here somewhere in the hot.
Do you need water?
I'm good, brother. Thank you. So Matthew 6:33, most of you should be able to quote that. If you need your Bibles open, go ahead and open to Matthew 6:33. And everybody ready? Here we go. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Amen. Father, bless now in the moments that we have as a class dealing with worry in marriage, Lord. We know that we worry about certain things in our marriage. And Lord, we just want to make sure that we give you the first place in our life. And Lord, organize our priorities that it might not be a burden or a worry for us when conflicts and situations arise. But we'll keep the priorities intact and give you control of our marriage and our lives, allowing you to get the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to discuss just briefly how to wipe out worry. But let's go back just a little bit. What were some of the highlights of things that we said that married couples worry about? Did we say
Finances.
Finances is one of the top ones, yes?
That's what I said.
Yeah, finances. What else is one of the top ones that the couples worry about?
Worry about our kids.
Kids, yeah. Child rearing, what the kids are going to turn out to be. What's another one we talked about? Some of the top worries. Kids is number one. Debt was number two. Education was another one. Job security was another one. Am I going to have a job tomorrow? Especially in this economy of things right now. You may be employed today and unemployed tomorrow. That's just the way jobs go. I mean, they are ruthless. They'll cut you in a heartbeat to get a younger crowd in, to get a more educated crowd in or whatever. Spouse leaving is a worry, especially if you live for God and one is not living for God. You have that. Sex life, we talk about that. Sometimes that's a worry, okay? We talked about as well, the workload sometimes is a worry. My kid's future could be a worry. My kid's behavior could be a worry. And we talked about this. Can we change any of those things by worry?
No.
Can't change any of them. So the best bet is to get a plan of attack and get God's will and say, okay, let's fulfill our plan and let God take care of that, okay? Now, we did talk about this as well on page 12 at the bottom. Worry robs us of strength. If worry robs us of our strength, what will this lack of strength, or how will this lack of a strength affect our marriage? And what were some of the things that we said it would do? How would it affect our marriage? Anybody remember? Ms. Dawson?
We won't have the energy we need to be what we need to be for our husbands when it comes to intimacy.
But intimacy is going to get affected, Brad?
Well, when you don't have energy, it's easier to get a little bit more of a testy or cross with your spouse.
Amen.
Shorter tempers.
Amen. Anybody else remember some of the things we said?
Make you sick.
Make you sick, physically sick. Amen. And here are some other things, you know, it affects marriage and our intimacy. I don't have time for my spouse. I don't have strength for my kids. I don't have strength for talking. I don't have strength for fun. I don't have time and strength for chores.
Yes. I was going
to
say that. We don't
want to
clean.
Exactly. Everything's going to get. No dishes are going to get washed. I'm worried. No clothes are going to get washed. And if they do get washed, they're not going to put away. Dishes may get washed. They're not going to get put away. And also we talked about this. No strength for Bible study. I really don't want to talk to God right now because I'm just worrying about it. And we talked about it. Is there a difference between worry and prayer? Yes, there's a big difference. We said you got to differentiate between worry and concern. A lot of things we should be concerned about, but not worry about.
Right.
And there's a big difference between worry and concern. I'm concerned when a child plays too close to the street. Okay, so what do? I do something about it. Okay? But I don't sit there and frant, oh, the cat's playing by the street. Oh, they're playing by the street. Oh, they're playing by, no, that's not going to get me anything. Nor is it going to help him when he runs in the street. I've got to do something about it. Okay? So worry and concern are different. So don't get those two confused. So now how to wipe out worry? Since we know that we do it, we show that it shows some things. It shows that we have a lack of trust sometimes, a lack of faith sometimes, and a lack of commitment sometimes, contentment. And that's what it can show. So how to wipe out worry, amen? Examine our priorities. We left off with that one last week. And what do we say the priority is for the man after God? His priority is God first. Now, what's his second priority for the man?
The wife.
The wife. What's his third priority?
The children.
His children. And what's going to be his next priority?
Whatever.
Not necessarily a job.
Church.
Jobs come and go. Jobs come and go. But God is always going to be there. I've got to have the bedrock stability of God's house in my life. I've got to be local church minded, local church hearted, and make sure that if God is here and I've got my priority with my wife and my children, I've got to get them plugged into the house of God because my jobs are going to change all the time. But my local church really should not change unless I change locations. And so I've got to get in it, submerge myself in it, involve myself in it, and make it the bedrock of everything that I do because that job can let me go tomorrow.
That's right.
And guess what? Church, I can't let you go. Amen. Now, you can leave, amen, but I can't fire you because I didn't hire you.
Amen.
I mean, hey, you're here voluntary, amen. And so that local church has got to be a bedrock. And so those are priorities. For the wife, after God and her husband, what's her next priority?
Children.
Her children, okay. And then for her, house of God. Then if she works, then that responsibility, okay, if she does that. What's the child's responsibility? God first, then who?
Parents.
Parents, and then who?
Church,
and then who?
Friends.
Friends, responsibility, school, whatever that is that they have in their lives as priorities. Now, what will that do for me and my marriage if the priorities are lined up, it'll help me with worry. Because there's certain things now I just don't have to worry about because it's already a priority. It's lined up. I'm going to submit to my husband. I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to obey my parents. I'm going to love God. I'm going to be in the house of God. I'm going to do these things. It's just, I don't have to worry about it. Amen. Now, might I lose my job? I might. But guess what? I've got my church family there. Amen. Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind, okay? Now, coming down here after number one, says we put God first in any area. Notice that. Any area, whether it's relationships, finances, or whatever, God will bless that part of our lives. Why is that true?
Because you're obeying his commandments.
I'm obeying his commandments. God is a man of his word. He's promised to bless his word. Right. So if I honor God in the area of, say, relationships, then God's going to honor that. And by the way, what does God say about relationships?
Honor your father and mother.
Honor father and mother. Love one another.
Love your neighbor.
I got all to get to my brother. Go to him and get it right. Be forgiving, be kind, be loved. These are all things that God says, you know, if you put me first in that relationship, I'll bless it. And especially in the relationship between the husband and wife. If I, as a husband, do everything that God has told me to do with my wife, guess what? She'll be a happy camper. Now, I struggle because I'm a sinner. Men, we just got to face that fact. We don't do everything that God tells us to do. Now, when we're led by the Spirit and how this Holy Spirit filled, we do everything. It's when we take over. That's when we have problems. Amen. And wives, same thing. If the wife did everything that the Bible told her to do to her husband, guess what? He'd be a happy camper. Amen. And if we, as parents, did everything to the children, guess what? They'd be happy campers. Fact of the matter is, we don't, they don't. Amen. And so here we are. Amen. Finances as well. How can I put God first in the area of finances?
Tithing.
Amen. And it says, or whatever. And God's going to bless that part of our lives. And that is also the premise for trusting in what promise God gives us in Psalm 51 and verse 12. I'm sorry, Psalm 512. Let's look over there. Psalm 512. By the way, we've had a steady diet of Psalms this month, the last several months. Psalm 512. And who is there that can read that for me? Psalm 512. Go ahead, Mark.
For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor will thou compass him with a shield.
Amen. So according to that verse there, the Bible lets us know that the Lord's going to bless the righteous. Now, by the way, if we're saved, we already have the righteousness of God in us. Okay? But now, this is going a little bit further and letting us know that God is going to bless the righteous acts that we accomplish. And so if we accomplish his righteousness in our lives, guess what? He's going to bless that righteousness in our lives. And he says down there, going on, with favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. So now what are you talking about with favor? Is he going to compass me with a shield? What does that mean?
That he'll protect us in the time of need.
He'll protect us. Remember the story of Job? What was Job's accusation against God concerning Job?
You mean Satan's accusation?
Yeah. What did I say?
Job's accusation.
Yeah, Satan's accusation against God towards Job. What was the accusation?
Well, his life was too good and he wouldn't let any harm come to him.
Wouldn't let any harm. He said, basically, you got a hedge of protection around him. Mm-hmm. He said, if you let that hedge down, let me at him. And you see what he will do. And basically, that's saying the same thing in verse number 12. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. God's going to favor us all around and is going to shield us from things that could potentially harm us. Now, does that mean that nothing bad is ever going to happen to us?
No.
God knows that we need to be strengthened and tested in our marriages. Amen. What is being tested and strengthened? What does a test do in our marriage, first of all? What does it do?
Either strengthens or tears you apart.
Before it strengthens us, what does it do? Think about it. When you take a test, what is that test designed to do?
Think.
And also does something else.
Makes you study.
Makes me study. But the test itself, what does the test itself show?
Proves what you know.
Shows what I know. Or what I don't know. Or what I've done or what I haven't done. So when God sends these things in and lets the shield of protection down, so to speak, to test us, so to speak, he's trying to show us what we have or don't have. what we know or what we don't know, what we're doing or what we're not doing, to make us go back and find what? The answer. What do I need to do? And now that should, as Brad say, strengthen me, okay? I don't know about y'all, but when I got a bad grade on the test, I wanted to go back and see what did I miss. I mean, well, how did I miss that? I thought I knew that. Especially when it was something I just thought I knew. And then it come to find that I missed a decimal point. Or, you know, a teacher were really, you know, you didn't cross a T or dot an I. You know, they're being tough on you. It's like, but it's right. No, it's not right because you didn't cross your T and it could be an L. Well, it's not right because that's a U. It looks like a W. I got half right. And so God is trying to show us what we know and what we don't know. And so the shields that God places around us with favor, he's going to encompass us in our marriages. But sometimes he's got to test us to show us what we lack in marriage as a husband or as a wife or as a parent. And so keep that in mind. And so the block there, it said, that is also the premise for trusting and what promise God gives us. Psalm 5:12, God's going to bless the righteous or our righteous acts, and he's going to favor us, and he's going to compass us like a shield. And that's great, because we want the Lord to bless us for being righteous, and we want him to surround us with his favor. One of the things that children love is to be favored by their parents. Amen. A child of God should want to be favored by God. A wife cherishes being favored by her husband and vice versa. Amen. I love when my wife favors me. And when she does those little special things to make me have a nice time. Amen. I love lights, and she turned the lights on yesterday for me. And I'm like, yeah, she got the lights on. Amen. We've got little lights on the different trees and things like that because I just love lights. Amen. And so she does those things for me. And so I like being favored by her. We want to be favored by God as well. Go down to the next one. It says, if we put God first, all our worries will die a natural death. Why is that true? If we put God first, all our worries will die a natural death. Why is that true?
Because we trust in God.
Because we're trusting God. We're trusting God. Amen. Linda?
If you leave it with the Lord, you can't worry about something that you've already given. Hey,
amen. And if I'm focusing on my priorities, do I really have time to worry about this other stuff? No, because I'm focusing on my priorities. It's when I'm not focusing on my priorities that takes time away, and I'll go over here and worry, which is very unproductive. But now I come away from the worry and the unproductiveness and go right back over here to what I should be doing. And man, that just puts my focus together. You know, I read the Psalm 37 today. How many of y'all read that today in your Bible reading, Psalm 37? Let's go over to Psalm 37. And David here writing about the evildoers. And all throughout here, David is talking to himself. And notice what he says down here in number 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. By the way, can you change what evildoers do?
No.
No. What if your husband or your wife happens to be an evildoer? Can you change that?
No.
No. Not going to help you at all. Amen? So fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Is it going to help you to be envious against somebody that's doing iniquity? No. What happens? Verse 2, they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. So what does David say I ought to do? Verse number 3, trust in the Lord. What is that? Priorities. And what else? And do good. What is that? Priorities. But preacher, my husband and my wife is not doing right. My children aren't doing right. Okay, and your point is, trust in the Lord and do good. Focus on the priorities. Amen. And God takes care of that. Okay, now again, you get your plans and your details of what you need to do and implement it, but don't worry about it. Amen. He says, trust the Lord, do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Notice this, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thine heart. David's got to preach to himself, basically saying, look, this is what you need to do, son. Don't worry about these evildoers. Delight yourself in the Lord. He's going to give you the desires of your heart. By the way, delight yourself in the Lord, he's going to give you a natural desire for him and his will and his work and his word. That's just a natural thing. And if I have that, guess what? I'm not going to be focusing on worry. It just goes together. He says in verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So in my marriage relationship, my relationship with God, if I put God in his priority position, guess what? Everything is going to come together. It's just a matter of doing it. Verse 6, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Is it always going to be quick turnaround?
No.
Sometimes you're praying for a spouse and it only takes a lot longer than you would want it to happen. Why do you think God takes so long?
Testing you.
Testing you could be. Amen.
We're slow learners.
We're slow learners. Amen. Why else could God not answer your prayer so quickly about a spouse or a child?
It's not his timing.
Not his timing. Okay, Linda.
We have to learn patience.
We have to learn patience. Can you imagine if God just did everything snap like that for us when we asked it?
We would expect
him to work on our timetable. We'd be spoiled brats.
That'd be nice once in a while.
Now, once in a while it does happen, amen. But it's not all the time that it does happen. But once in a while, you know, God will, you know, he'll shock you and say, okay, right away, boom, here you go. But sometimes he'll make you wait. You know, like the prayers that I pray to get this church building. I mean, sometimes God will just kind of say, okay, I'm coming, but I'll be there when I need to be there, right?
The other thing too is the fact that he just wants to make sure you really mean it.
Amen. Yeah, amen. Sometimes.
If you really mean it, because I mean, there are many times that I've prayed prayers and I didn't mean it. I mean, I know I didn't mean it. And you know, I've now New Year's resolutions or whatever, and God's just, you know, he's stepping back and he's saying, okay, well, let's see you put some feet to your prayer. then maybe we might answer.
See how bad you really want it, amen. I can often tell when my kids really want something because they'll come back oftentimes. Uh-huh. And if they want my attention right away. And I say, hold that thought, son. Or hold that thought, Faith. And I'm talking to mom, you know. And I'll come back and say, what are you saying? I forgot now. I said, I guess it wasn't that important. It's like, it really was important. Said, if it was important, you wouldn't have forgot what it was. Amen. So God is that way with us sometimes. Well, he's warning us to make sure that this is really what you want. This is really what you mean. So Psalm 37 is a very, very good one. Verse 8 says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. So he says, you know, get your priorities down. Don't be angry about this wicked person. Don't do the wrathful thing. Get away from that. Don't fret and don't turn around and do evil. So as we are in the marriage relationship, our priorities got to be God and then what God wants us to do with our spouse and our children. He says, don't fret over stuff that you have no control over. Don't worry about it. Let's come down to number two here. How to wipe out worry. Number one, examine our priorities. Number two, live in the present. Now, this means we should live one day at a time. How many of y'all have been guilty of living tomorrow already? I mean, you're already doing whatever it is that you're going to do tomorrow in your mind, amen? And it's so easy to do. It's easy to live into tomorrow, and it's easy to live yesterday. Well, I should have did this, I should have did that. Well, the fact of the matter is you didn't do it. The fact of the matter is it's over, you can't go back. So why relive yesterday and waste energy there? Why try to work tomorrow when tomorrow may never come? And if it does come, it's probably not going to work out the way you imagined it anyway. Then you're going to get frustrated when people don't do what you thought they should have did, amen? And so why? He said, one day at a time. By the way, how many days has God promised us? One at a time. He didn't promise us tomorrow. So live in the present is another way to wipe out worry in our marriages, and living one day at a time. Notice what he says, a good illustration of words when the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness and God fed them manna from heaven. The manna fell every morning and melted like snow when the sun hit it. Moses told the Israelites to gather only enough for one day and not to keep any until morning. However, what happened according to Exodus 16:20? I mean, y'all know the account. What happened? It stunk and it bred worms. Go over to Exodus 16:20. It stunk and it bred worms. Have you ever given thought to when you told a child to do something and they didn't do it, that stunk and bred like worms? Mm-hmm. It bred worms, amen. And have you ever done some things that God told you not to do and it stunk and bred worms? Amen. Just one of those things. Exodus 16:20. Who's got that one? Can read that for me. Brad?
Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth.
Amen. How many times has God told us to do something for our husband or our wife or our children? We hearken not, like it says what they did here, and it stunk and it bred worms. It just turned into a mess. Amen. I've been guilty of that. Now, if I'd only listened to God, I wouldn't be in this predicament. Now, this thing stinks. I mean, it smells horrible, amen? And nothing worse than a horrible smell in your house, amen? I mean, you ever had to bag garbage? You threw something in the garbage and it didn't stink at first, but then after several hours, it starts oozing out and you're going all over the house trying to figure out where's that smell at? That happened to us not too long ago. It wasn't at the garbage, but the kids were washing dishes, and they had placed some plasticware down at the bottom on the heating coil. And so the dishwasher's going, and I'm in the middle of the night. I'm waking up going all over the house. Something's burning. Something is on fire. I said, something is on fire in this house. I'm checking everything for fire, and I'm thinking something is burning. And I'm looking all over the house. I mean, I'm thinking I need to call the fire department. And then I went by the dishwasher, and I opened it up. Boom, there it was. The plastic that had fell on there had began to melt, and the residue was just oozing out with the heat and going all through the heating system, and you could smell it going through the fans. And I'm thinking, there it is. And it stunk. Amen. Cardinal rule in the house, don't put anything on the heating oil. Amen. And so when we do things in our marriages that God told us not to do, or when we don't do things that God has told us to do, we are like Israel. We don't hearken, and it's going to stink, and it's going to breed worms. So whatever it is, amen, yes?
We were talking about just a moment ago, not worrying about the past or the future. Well, how do you reconcile? And I would imagine it's probably right along with the lines of concern, but how do you reconcile not worrying but planning for the future?
Yeah, we looked at, Proverbs 20 and verse 5, I think it was. So go over there real quick. Proverbs 20 and verse 5, and that's a good point, Brad. We did discuss that, talking about the difference between concern and worry. Proverbs 20 says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. Is that 25:1 or is it 20 and verse 5? 21:5, I'm sorry. 21:5. And it says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. And the word thoughts there means our plans. And so, in essence, what it's saying, our plans there, of the diligent are going to lead us to plenteousness. In other words, I see there's an issue here, I have a concern, and so my thought process is going to give me a plan to implement, to handle that, so it's not a worry, whatever it may be. So the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but he says, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. If I rush into it without thinking, and then it's going to be a mess because I didn't plan for it. And so that's what you want to do when it comes to that. We talk about planning for future children, whatever it may be. If I don't put a plan in effect according to Proverbs 21:5, then it's going to be a mess. And I will worry about it then. And that's not God's design or his desire. Amen. So good point. So it bred worms and it stunk. Amen. And so some of these guys kept this manna until the morning, and it was directly against what God told them to do. Notice the statement underneath there. I like that. The eternal principle is worrying about tomorrow makes today stink. Amen? I mean, it's just that's the application. Worrying about tomorrow makes today stink. Why? Because I'm bringing tomorrow's problems into today with today's problems already being intact. So now I've got double jeopardy. I've got today's problems and I got tomorrow's problems, which may not even be a problem. And it's triple jeopardy by bringing tomorrow's problems into today with today's problems, and I bring yesterday's problems into today. Now I've got triple jeopardy. God's given me grace for the problems of the day. But I bought in yesterday, I bought in tomorrow into today, and God says, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. So why do that? You can't control what happened yesterday. So why worry about that? Just handle what I gave you to handle, amen? And believe it or not, oftentimes much of our marital bliss can be taken away with this worry. I mean, we could have a very, very good time thinking about our spouse, being with our spouse, if it were not for worry, whatever type of worry it may be. And I've got to get away from tomorrow, get away from yesterday, and say, what can I do today in my marriage relationship? Yes, Caleb?
Case in point. With our situation right now and our future kids, it would be easy to worry about my previous pregnancy, which ended in preterm labor and prom, my water breaking and all that stuff. But I can't worry that that will carry on into my next pregnancy, because it's easy to worry about next time we want to have more kids, that same thing will happen. And, if he's not military, then we have to worry about insurance. And, this time we've been covered, but it would be really easy to worry about what happened yesterday could happen again tomorrow.
Amen.
And so that's one thing we've talked about, and helping him take it, as it comes, and make decisions based on but we foresee the future, but also what the Lord's leading.
Amen. And I'll piggyback off that. Most of you know our story as well. We couldn't have children for 20 years. And we had got anointed with oil, hand laid on the whole nine yards, prayer, fasting, and everything. Doctor said it ain't going to happen. And when it finally did happen, boy, did it come with some complications. I mean, Carmen had a fibroid tumor growing in the uterus, same time baby was growing. She was in a wheelchair for about 5-6 months out of the pregnancy, bed bound. And, you know, doctors finally came back and said, don't try this again. Now, we can worry about it. Oh, what if she gets pregnant again? Oh, she might die this time. Or we can plan and say, okay, let's do something about that to make sure this doesn't happen. We just have to adopt some children. So we had a choice to make. Now, we know nothing is certain, and we know God can do whatever he's going to do. Amen. That's how G2 got here. Amen. But we try to put in place what we knew so that we don't worry about it. Because we knew that if she got pregnant again, it could be worse than it was the first time. And so let's do the planning, the thoughts of the diligent, tend only the plenteous, put that in place, and then walk according to that. Saying, okay, God, if you allow it to happen, it's definitely going to be a miracle of God because it's not supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. Okay? But then again, they said it wasn't supposed to happen the first time. So there you go. And you can worry about that or you can plan for it. So good case in point. Amen. And notice what it says at bottom 13. God wants us to enjoy today, not to ruin it by worrying about tomorrow. We ought to plan for the future, but live in the present. And that's just sound practice. Plan for the future, yes, but don't live the future. You can't live it. You live the present. And so it says that someone said, and I like this saying, today is a gift from God. That's why we call it the present. I like that saying. That's pretty good. I never thought about that, but that's a good saying. It says we can't enjoy today's present if we worry about tomorrow's problem. Amen. God will give us the grace or strength to live each day. Deuteronomy 33:25. Has some words of encouragement for us there. Let's look at that. Deuteronomy 33:25. And let's see the encouragement that we can find. Who's got Deuteronomy 33:25? Lily?
Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days too shall thy strength be.
Amen. So now, what does he say about the days there? As the days? So shall thy strength be. So, in other words, what God is saying there is, I'm going to give you the strength that you need for each day. How many of you say that's correct? God's going to give us enough strength. Has God given us strength for tomorrow?
No.
No, because tomorrow's not going to come. When tomorrow comes, tomorrow comes. But tomorrow, strength is for tomorrow. The grace for today, you can't spend tomorrow. And the grace for today, you can't spend yesterday. The grace that God is giving you, the grace of God, is only spendable today. Why? I can't spend it tomorrow. How many of y'all can spend your money today that you're going to use tomorrow? You really can't because it's not there. You're not there yet. Now, you can waste it today, amen, and not have it tomorrow. But it's impossible to spend money tomorrow that you have today. And so God's grace is sufficient for today. He's not going to give you grace for tomorrow because tomorrow hadn't come here. Yes?
I'm just thinking, and this is maybe a little off the road, but years ago I have a son who's a drug addict. And I would pray for him, give him to God. God did a bit of money when I took him back. One day God said to me, give him to me forever. Don't take him back. And that was when I quit worrying. I gave my son to the Lord, and he told me he would witness for him. I don't worry anymore. I just don't. I give it to God. I can't change it. I can't do anything about it.
Amen. Amen. And again, God's got his timing in those situations, those circumstances. Sometimes men may have a bad habit in the marriage, and you nag him about that habit. Well, is that going to help at all?
No.
What's that going to make him do?
Make it work.
Or the wife may have a bad habit that, and you nag her. Is that going to make it any better?
No.
So it doesn't make it any better. So it's not going to help me. What do? We pray about it. You know, and we give it to God. Amen. So notice what it says underneath that line there. This means God gives us the grace to live every day. He has ordained for us to live. I don't know what tomorrow holds for me, but I know God will give me strength and need for every day he has given me to live. So examine our priorities, number one. Number two, live in the present. Number three, pray about our problems. And that's why I asked you guys the question initially. Can we ever pray too much about a certain situation? And I told you to caution yourself before you answer that. Can I pray too much about a situation?
Yes, too much when you're worried about it.
I can start worrying about it, and my prayers aren't prayers, they're worries. And I think it's praying, but it's really not praying, it's worrying. So I can get to the point where, now, genuine, sincere prayer, no, you're not going to pray too much. Jesus Christ prayed the same thing in the Garden of Gethsemane 3 times. Same exact prayer, said he said the same words. Genuine prayer, you can't pray too much in that fashion. Worry cannot be misconstrued with prayer. Because sometimes we can think that we're praying about it and we're actually worrying about it. You're staying awake at night. Lord, I'm praying about this thing. No, you're not. You're worrying about it. If you were praying, you would be sincere and you'd be getting a hold of God and you'd leave with what? Peace. The peace that passes all understanding, that God is going to work something out. The day that I got the phone call about the money for this church, I had been wrestling with God about that thing. I said, God, we need this money. God, we need this money. We need this money. Lord, Monday we need this money. Lord, today is Thursday. We don't have that money. And when I read about Jehoshaphat, when he said, the battle is not yours, the battle is the Lord,
Amen.
A peace came over me.
Yeah.
And I said, why am I worried about this? I said, God, this is your battle. This is your fight. This is your church. And if you want it done, you're going to do it. I'm not going to worry about any money. Not even 3 hours later, I got the phone call. I thought, man, if I knew that phone call was coming, I wouldn't have been worried all this time, amen. And $495,000, boom, just like that, in the phone call. And I thought, man. So when the peace hit me, I didn't worry about it at all. And so sincere praying about a problem is going to give you the peace. Philippians 4:6, that's one of Mark's favorite verses. When we did discipleship, he clung to that verse, Philippians 4:6. And notice what it says there, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So verse 6 says, you know what, pray about that thing, give it over to the Lord. And Mark, what is verse number 7 saying?
And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen. So that peace of God comes from that prayer. How many, after you prayed a prayer, the sinner's prayer, you felt the peace? I mean, I'll tell you what, when I prayed to get saved, there was a peace that came over me, followed by a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. I mean, I felt the best I'd ever felt in my entire life. And I thought, glory to God, something just happened to me. I don't know what it is, but that peace hit, then that joy kicked in right off. And I thought, man, oh man, it's good to be saved. Why didn't I pray that prayer a long time ago? Amen. And so we don't want to, yes, Brad?
I wanted to ask you too, when you have prayer and it's a you're persevering in prayer, but you have a situation like with Samuel or with Paul, where God said, "Speak no more to me about this," mm-hmm. or Moses, you know, where God has already shown His will, mm-hmm. but you don't like it, and so you continue to fervently pray for your will mm-hmm. Against God's will, and at that point, you know, I think that prayer is almost a sinful thing.
It becomes very futile. We have to have the attitude that Christ had in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but thine be done. He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He was desirous that the humanity side of him did not want to go through with this, but he knew the Father's will was just the opposite of that. And so he said, nevertheless, thy will be done, if it's possible. You know, Paul said, I besought the Lord thrice. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. He said, I've got enough grace to cover that affliction that I've given you. And oftentimes, we don't want the grace. We just want it to be gone, or we want it to be given to us, whatever it is. God says, I'm going to give you grace. But we say, no, if you just give it to me, I won't have that problem. Or if you just get rid of it, I won't have that problem. He says, no, I want to magnify my grace and my life through your life. I mean, you think about people like Fanny Crosby and some of these others with blindness and things like that. They could be bitter and ill and mad about that. Well, that doctor or this illness or whatever, you know, could be like this. I think about Steve Bruner's mom, who got her finger cut off, got her hand cut off by that saw. And just now, years later, she finally gets a restored hand. And she could have been bitter all her life, but she sang here with such grace every time she came. She had a good disposition, a good spirit, and she could have been bitter. That blasted saw cut off my hand, you know, going around all her life like Captain Hook with a little hook on there hooking people. I mean, you know, but she wasn't that way. She was very gracious about it. She was very gracious. And so sometimes we just have to be content. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain, with God's grace in our marriage, in spite of us getting something or getting rid of something. Sometimes it's just the grace of God. Sometimes God just wants us to be, as several of you said, patient with the situation. Patient with a spouse. Remember when I first married my wife, you know, I hated popping gum with a passion. And she was the popping gum queen. You know, so something had to give. Either her popping gum had to give, or I just had to give and concede. I won, but it wasn't a fair fight. Amen. Because I was like, look, but I enjoy doing it. I said, but I hate hearing it. And we have to coexist in this home. And I'm the head, and I say no. And so now she's teaching my daughter to pop gum. And I had faith. And faith in popping gum. I said, how did you learn that? Mommy. I said, okay, let's just get this straight. Certain places you can do that. Certain places you can't. I said, don't do it around me. Bless her heart. She's like, hey, mommy does. I said, when you by yourself, you can pop while you want to pat, 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 pat. When I'm around, it just gets on my nerves. So and so we have an agreement. She tries not to do it around me. And the boys have adopted my spirit on that as well. So
I wonder why.
So sometimes you can pray for your will, but it's not always the best thing to pray for your will. Amen. Go down there. Just let's finish this out. Amen. The word translated keep it is a military. And when you talk about the peace of God should keep that in heart. And when we pray in faith, the peace of God acts as a sentry guard to keep worry out of our hearts and minds. And they give you a verse, Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Let me get Brad to look up Psalm 55:22. And Brother Mark, look up 1 Peter 5:7. And we have to quit with these two. And while they're looking it up, it says, it takes faith to turn everything over to the Lord in prayer. That is the only way to experience the peace of God in the midst of our problems. In the area of problems, we only have two choices, panic or pray. The Bible tells us, cast thy, Psalm 55:22.
Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved.
Amen. So we cast it out there, and we make sure that we leave it with the Lord. Give it to God. Amen. And God is going to do what he does best with it. It says one reason it's difficult for us to cast our problems upon the Lord is we forget how much God loves us. Mark, go ahead and get 1 Peter 5:7.
Casting all your care upon him, for he careth to you.
Amen. So casting our cares upon him. And they give you an illustration down here. It's not like a fishing rod. When you throw the fishing rod and you cast it out there, what do you normally do eventually?
Bring it back in.
So I don't pray about this and then reel it back in just to carry it off. I throw it out there and leave it out there. When I go fishing with my kids, I say, look, throw it out there and leave it out there. Let it sit. You know what they do? Next somebody's in the tree caught up. I say, that's why I told you to throw it out there and leave it. Leave it. Let's go over here and let's sit down and talk and eat something or something like that. But kids are, they get bored real quick. And they got to have something to do. We're a lot like that with prayer.
Yeah.
We'll get bored real quick if God didn't answer. And so we'll reel it back in, take it with us, and worry about it. It says down there, the word cast means to throw a pond. But it's not like when we cast our fishing lines and then reel them back. We have to cast our worries on God, leave them there. Wipe out worry, must examine our priorities, live in the present, and pray about our problems. Which of these needs the most attention in your life, and what will you do about it today? Now again, coming from the marriage perspective, you've got to answer that question. What is it that you need to examine in regards to your priorities and live in the present, and then give your problem over to God in prayer? What is it that may require that? Maybe it's worrying about finances. Maybe it's about your sex life. Maybe it's about the rearing of your children. Maybe it's your job security. Maybe it's your lack of faith in how God's going to work a situation out. Maybe it's your debt. Maybe it's your education. Maybe it's your workload. Maybe it's the kids' behavior. There are so many things that we could consume ourselves with and worry about. God says, no, give it over to me. Casting all your cares upon him. Why? Where he cares for you. God loves us. He doesn't want us to worry. By the way, he invested too much in us for us to worry. And he is God omnipotent. And he says, look, leave that to me.
Amen.
That's my concern. That's my concern. But my husband, that's my concern. But my wife, that's my concern. But my children, that's my concern. You just have the thoughts of the diligent. You plan. put it into practice, and let me handle the details. And if we do that, God will bless our marriages in a wonderful, wonderful way. I'll give you guys the handout next week in regards to this book, The Marriage Notebook, and that will be the title of Making Right Choices for a Great Marriage. So I'll give you that next week because our brother Sarah is teaching Sunday school next week. And then we'll have the memory verse on there as well for you. So main thing right now is don't worry, but pray about it. And as you are praying, ask God to give you a plan of attack to work it out, whatever it is in your marriage. And if it's out of your control, then guess what? It's out of your control. And you've got to give that to God. Amen. Father, thank you for the ability to take our problems to you in prayer, casting our cares upon you, for you care for us. God, help us to recognize what we can control, what we can plan for, and what is beyond our control, and what is all in your control. Lord, help us to separate and differentiate in our marriages what there is that we can work out and what we cannot work out through planning. Lord, what we can pray about and what we should just plan for and pray about. And Lord, give us the wisdom to know certain things that we ought not worry about, and help us be prayer warriors so we can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Work in our next session, Lord. Bless the refreshments that we'll have next door. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, you are dismissed. And don't worry.
Gary is excellent. Elvis impersonator. I didn't know that. Oh, thanks, Bryce.